الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders in Islam, who had been discussing the Quranic formula for a contented life, peaceful life, and also for great rewards in the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned to us that those people that have iman and amal salihah, then their life will be a life of contentment, a life of peace, a life of serenity and peace and tranquility. And together with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will repay them in the hereafter with great rewards. This principle or these rewards for iman and amal saliha are mentioned over and over in the Quran. Some places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُلَ. Those people that have iman and amal saliha, and for them will be جَنَّةُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. Some places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ. They will be in gardens of bliss and great ni'mats and comforts in the hereafter. One ayat Allah Ta'ala mentions that سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create love for them in the world. The worldly people will also love them. So a life of iman and amal saliha guarantees a person here peace and contentment in this world. Also respect and honor in the eyes of the people. Respect and honor in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And great amount of benefits. In fact, if you study the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will find details regarding many good actions, many amal salihah. Details are mentioned. You carry out this action, this is what you will get, this is the reward that you will get, and also worldly benefits that you will get. If you not only think the person carries out good deeds, there's only benefits for him in the hereafter, and the worldly life, like here Allah Ta'ala mentions, his worldly life will be a life of contentment and peace. Similarly, in the hereafter, there are great and enormous rewards awaiting that person that has a life of iman and amal saliha. That is why in comparison to the asbab and means that we have in the dunya, the amal are more effective because they have the divine promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The divine promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are in amal. When a person carries out good deeds, as I mentioned, there are details, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever carries out this action, this will be reward and this will be the effect of this action, and who carries out an evil also, that also has an effect here in this worldly life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows it to us in the worldly life. The life of the pious people is filled up with respect, filled up with barakat, filled up with peace and tranquility, and that person that's disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his life is riddled and filled up with trials and tribulations and distress and all forms of depression, etc., because he is disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why not? Because peace and tranquility comes only from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can adopt the means of peace, but the real peace is the peace of the heart that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself and from no one else. We had mentioned last week, person gathers wealth, wishes to be wealthy and feels that he'll be successful in his wealth. First of all, he cannot achieve this aim because the people around him are surpassing him. They have more wealth than him. They have more accumulated, amassed more of the worldly fortune. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prescribed for us the formula that who is the richest person? That person, وَرْضَ بِمَا قَسِبَ اللَّهُ لَكْ تَكُنْ أَغْنَى النَّاسِ. You want to be the richest person, then contentment should be your lot. You should be contented with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you will be the most honorable, you will be the most richest person on the face of the earth. Similarly, we had mentioned a person yearns for honor and respect. And honor and respect, he wishes to get that honor and respect whereby he feels he'll be successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises for us that honor and respect in the world, in akramakum indallahi atqakum. The person that is most honorable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that has the greatest amount of taqwa. The greatest amount of taqwa, the greatest amount of piety, he is the most honorable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in the sight of the people. How many people are there we know? We don't know their names. They're not related to us. We did not see them for the first time. But our hearts are attracted to that person because of his taqwa, because of his piety, because of his iman, because of his amal saliha. Similarly, we had mentioned that we are seeking one way or formula of success for us to look for enjoyment. to look for enjoyment and peace. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala secures that also and tells us, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَتْمَئِنُ الْقُلُوبِ. This enjoyment and peace and contentment that you're looking for, that is related originally and primarily to the heart, that is in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not in using things in a manner, not in substance abuse, not in things indulging in those activities that are completely against the order of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The peace and contentment lies in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter we had mentioned the prescription for a peaceful life in this world and the hereafter. What we wish to highlight today is the effect of these good deeds are not only in the hereafter, are in this world as well. In this world as well, we find that these good deeds will make our life contented, blessed and full of happiness, full of joy, full of respect and full of tranquility here in this very world. And our amal will assist us. Mawlana Ihsan Sahib, Dawat Barakatuh of Raiwind, mentions very strangely, he mentions this over and over again, that one is we find the worldly means that we adopt. Person who adopts the worldly means, and he gives an example. For example, a person goes to the store and goes to the shop and he buys something in the morning, say for example a loaf of bread, and when he goes into, and he pays for it, and he goes into the afternoon to the same shop, and thereafter he asks for another loaf of bread. And when he's asked to pay, he says, no, I've made the payment in the morning. I've made the payment in the morning, what will people say? Something is wrong with this person because he had made the payment in the morning and taken in exchange of that the bread. Now he comes in the afternoon and he does not want to pay again. Other words, that wealth, the wealth that was used once in this dunya, that means that he had adopted, was used once and it is complete and it is finished. It cannot be used again. But amali saliha, deeds are such that help a person over and over again. And they have multiple benefits. Help a person in the dunya, there's barakat in his life. Helps a person when there's calamity is coming down. Sometimes carries out a good deed, the calamity is wanted away from him. It helps a person as far as honor and respect is concerned. It helps that person at the time of death. It helps that person when he goes into the grave, the actions take different form. It helps the person on the day of judgment, it is put onto the weight, and thereafter it becomes heavy. So one deed a person carries out, and it has a multiple effect, and the benefit and advantages of the deed is multiple in his life and helps him right through his life. As far as the worldly means are concerned, can only be consumed and used once and thereafter is exhausted and finished and not non-existent. But the amal-e-saliha, the good deed the person carries out, it helps him right throughout his life and after his life in the grave and thereafter on the day of judgment also, it helps him and assists him and becomes the means of his peace and tranquility. This is the benefit of carrying out amal-e-saliha. Hatim Asam rahimahullah was a very great saint. He had stayed in the company of his Sheikh Shaqiq Balkhi rahmatullah alayh for 33 years for his personal reformation. And after he had left him, the Sheikh asked him, what you had learned in my company? He mentioned, I have learned 8 great lessons. We're not going to all the 8 great lessons. And the Sheikh told him, 33 years of stay and companionship and you learn only 8 lessons. And what are those lessons? You have wasted your life with me. Thereafter he mentions those 8 lessons. And thereafter he commends him and tells him that you have stayed and really benefited my companionship. The very first thing he mentioned is this. He said, I looked around in the dunya and I found people, everyone loves something or loves somebody. He loves something or he loves somebody dearly. And what happens then throughout his life, he stays in the companionship of that person or that particular thing. He uses it and benefits from him. But the day he passes away, they are separated. That beloved of his leaves him behind and he goes alone into the grave. And he's there alone into the grave. When I saw this, then I cultivated a love in my heart for good deeds. And I wish to take whatever is beloved to me with me into the grave. Then when I pass away from the dunya, I cultivated a love for good actions. And I'll carry out these actions throughout my life. When I pass away, these good actions of this beloved of mine will accompany me in the grave. And this is the reality, that whatever we have here, we will leave behind. It will only be these amal-e-saliha, the iman and amal-e-saliha, that will accompany us in the grave. And they will become a means of our comfort there in the grave. In traditions we find that they will take different forms, and they will come from different sides, and become a means of peace, become a means of our peace and tranquility in the grave. They will become a means of our comfort in the grave. These very actions that we carry out, this salat, this zakat, this giving zawat of the Holy Quran, walking to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all these amal will take different forms and come to us and assist us in the grave. So carrying out good actions, as I mentioned, is not only a matter of sawab, but we find becomes a means of our comfort and our comfort, and they become great assets to us in this world as well as when we leave this world. You all know the famous incident that comes in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, narrated in Bukhari Sharif and in Muslim Sharif, about those 3 people that were traveling. those three people that were traveling on a journey, and thereafter, due to the rain, they took refuge in a cave. They took refuge in a cave to save themselves because of the rain. And what happens thereafter is a big boulder that comes and blocks the entrance of this cave. And ultimately we find, it seems that this cave has become a cave of destruction, a cave of death for them. They had gone there for refuge and safety and sanctity, safety and security. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the controller of everything. When the boulder comes and blocks the entrance, that becomes a cave of death, a cave of destruction for them. And thereafter they begin to consult what to do. It's mentioned that, unzuru amalakum ma amiltum, amal unzur amalakum amiltumuha salihatan lillah. Look and search in your actions, those actions that you have done exclusively and only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fad'ullaha biha. And thereafter make reference to those actions and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la'alla Allah yafruju ankum. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away and alleviate this calamity that has befallen you. Here now comes the time of actions. There's nothing there besides the actions that they have. They have no means of moving those boulders. So what happens? One of them says, oh Allah, he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tells him, oh Allah, I am a shepherd and I have parents. Walidani shaykhani kabiran. I have two elderly and old age parents. And together with that I have a wife and I have children. I normally go out grazing the animals. When I come back in the evening, I come back with milk. And thereafter I feed them. I feed my parents and I feed my children. One day I have gone, one day I wandered away, very far away, taking my animals for grazing. And when I had come back, I found that my parents had fallen asleep. My parents had fallen asleep, and at my feet were my little children that were crying out for the milk. And I had disliked, أَقْرَهُ أَنْ أُوْقِذَهُمَا مِنْ نَوْمِهِمَا. I had disliked to wake them up from their sleep. And I dislike an askiya siblata qablahuma, sibyata qablahuma, and I dislike to feed my children before I feed my parents. And that remained my position with dhalika da'bi wa da'mahum hatta tala' al-fajr. I remained in this condition right up to the morning. In other words, I did not disturb the sleep of my parents, nor did I give preference of my children over my parents, and I stood there in that manner right up to the morning, out of honor and respect for my children, for my parents. And thereafter he says, oh Allah, in kunta ta'alamu anni fa'altuhu, ibtigha'a wajhik, oh Allah, you know, I did this only for your sake, only to get your pleasure. Then, oh Allah, fafruj anna furjatan, oh Allah, move this boulder from us, at least we can see the sky. It's mentioned that after he makes dua here, then that boulder is moved away, and the sky becomes apparent, and they can see the sky. Then comes the second person, thinks of an action that he carried out solely to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This also shows us the effect of ikhlas and sincerity in the actions. He says, oh Allah, he says, I had loved one of my cousins, and ka shaddi hubbi rijali lin nisa. In such a manner, like how a person passionately loves a woman, I loved her in that way, and I tried to seduce her, but she had put the price and told me that she would come with 100 gold coins. He said, I toiled and strived and made great effort to get those coins. And when I had come to her, it was time now for me to fulfill my desire with her unlawfully. Then she told me one sentence. She told me, Ya Abdullah, ittaqillah, wa la taftahi al-khatim illa bihaqqihi. That, O servant of Allah, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not break the seal illegally. Do not break the seal except in a manner that is legal for you. He says, she told me this one sentence. He says, I had changed my intention, and I got up there and then, and I walked away. This was done only, O Allah, if you know, in kunta fa'altuhu, ibtigha'a wajhik, if I have done this for you, O Allah, then move away this boulder. Take this calamity away from us. It's mentioned that the boulder moves even further. Then comes the third person, and he also thinks and beseeches and invokes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and making reference to that action of his that he felt he had done only for the sake of Allah. Oh Allah, I had employed a person, and he had come to me, and I had fixed a wage for him, one faraq, which was a measure in those times of rice, that I would give it to him. When he had come to me and asked me for it, and I had presented it to him, he refused to take it from me, and he walked away. Then I had taken that rice, and I had sowed it in the ground, and I had planted it. And whatever had yield from there, whatever had come out from there, I began to invest it. And I bought a whole lot of cows and a shepherd, etc. After a while, this person comes to me, after a long time, and tells me, ittaqillah, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa la tazlimni, and do not oppose me, pay me in full. He says, oh Allah, I told him, take all these cows, and take this shepherd also. He began to say, ittaqillah, wa la tastahzi bi, fear Allah, and do not mock me, So he says, I told him, I'm not mocking you. I told him what had happened, and thereafter he had taken all that, just for that one amount of rice. Here now he had, because of my investment, all his cows and the shepherd, and I had given it to him. Oh Allah, you know, I had done this only for you. I had done this only for you. Save us from this calamity. He mentioned that the boulder moves, and these people were rescued, and they had come out from there. They were released from this problem that they had by making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we find that good actions, good amal had benefited them even here in this dunya. And good amal has an effect, as I mentioned, person's respect, the person's honor, his peace, his tranquility. In fact, one hadith is mentioned that if your good actions please you and your bad actions displease you, then you are a mu'min. The true sense of the word, you are a mu'min. Not only should we carry out good actions, but it's our duty. تَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفُ وَلَتَنْهَوَنَّ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You should order people to do good deeds and stop them from doing evil deeds. This is a trait of the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and has been mentioned as one of the outstanding qualities. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرَجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. One of the most distinguished features of this ummah is that you have come on for the benefit of mankind, where you command the people to do good and forbid them from doing evil. So here we find the good deeds have brought them salvation from this musibat and calamity where in this world. Also mentioned, here we learn from this hadith that a person should cite his good actions and make reference to his good actions also when he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is absolutely permissible. This wasila we talk about, agency he has proved from this hadith. Allah Mabin Nuri rahmatullahi alayhi used to mention this hadith on many occasions and say, look here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us to take the wasila, to make reference and use the agency of our good actions also and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, with the barakat of this action that I have carried out only for you, can fulfill this dua of mine, fulfill this wish of mine. One pious saint says that he has experienced when a person also stays away from sin. When he stays away from sin, he says, that is the occasion to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, I've experienced this over and over again. I save my friend from a certain sin, and then I say, oh Allah, the barakat of this action and saving away from sin, grant me certain wish, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts my duas. So here we find, amal should be used also when a person makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cite those amal, make reference to those amal, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for duas. Similarly, we find that it is taqwa and piety that saves a person from trials and tribulations. A person is about to fall into sin, and he has the ability to carry out that sin. He is in an environment of sin, and he has no fear that somebody will punish him, or somebody will see him, etc. What sustains him, what saves him from perpetrating that sin, in that occasion, is only the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. More mighty than all the armies of the world, more mightier than the greatest police force, is the taqwa that is in the heart of a mu'min that saves him. And if the taqwa is not there, then we'll find what we find today, with all the security measures, with all those checks and balances that are there, with all the rules and regulations that are there, you will still find corruption, you will still find theft, you will still find sin, you will still find disobedience, you will still find dishonesty, because the taqwa is not there in the heart. And when the person has the taqwa, not only will he abstain from sins, but like the divine promises there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make an opening for that person, no matter what the circumstances may be. Another lesson we get here is, irrespective of the circumstances that surround us, we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under all circumstances and under all difficulties. Like many a person, people are beset with problems, and we find a person says, I don't know where to turn to, I don't know what to do, I have so many problems. No problem is insurmountable. It's all within the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How and in which way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will alleviate the suffering? La taqnatu min rahmatillah. We should not despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how much problems we have, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one. Imagine here, there was no truck. There was nothing that had come. Nothing mighty and strong had come. There was not a group of people that put something there and took this whole boulder out. The qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had moved it. And the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supersedes everything in this dunya. All our understanding put together cannot understand how great and how mighty the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. But our duty is to beseech in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective of the circumstances. No matter how many odds there are against us, they, in fact, a person's iman should become even more stronger. That all the odds are against me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of any of this to resolve my problems. To have this yaqeen and conviction upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we find these functions are held, or these ijtimas are held, so that we get the complete conviction upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find amal salihah becomes our second nature. And we carry out the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most easily when that amal is strong, when the conviction is strong. Another lesson we get here is the respect of the parents. So great it is here, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates this man's action so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviates or opens up or moves that boulder. Together with that, we also understand when a person makes an intention of doing evil, till he does not perpetrate that evil. In fact, when he stops and changes that intention, he is rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And together with that, we also understand that fair dealings and the rights of our employees should be fulfilled fully to the best of our capabilities. We find the deen here, we understand from this incident that these a'mal salihah were accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of them, not one of them, pertains to salat and zakat, because that is one aspect of deen. And we find these are other aspects of deen that we should pay attention to as well. That the first person we find fulfilling the rights of the parents. We carry out our salat and zakat, there should be fair treatment and love to the parents as well, and respect and honor of the parents as well, also forms a very integral part. After the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. After that, immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that you should do good towards your parents, to show and highlight the importance and significance of doing good towards the parents. We should follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all aspects in the ibadat. Together with that, we train kindness to our parents as well. Similarly, abstention from sin and immoral actions, here we find that this person, together with following the deen, he had saved himself from these temptations. We find that are there today everywhere. Person should save himself from these temptations, and the only thing that should be there, only thing that can really save him, is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the taqwa, and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the iman that he has upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thirdly, we understand here also in this hadith that we should fulfill the rights of people. That are fulfilling the rights of people also is a very, very integral part of our deen, whether it is our people that are working for us, whether it's the neighbors, whether it's those people that we interact with in our jobs, etc. We should see that we fulfill their rights as well. Here we find this person carries out this action, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates this action so much that he is saved from this calamity and difficulty and hardship. In other words, our deen entails that we fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the rights of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. Ijtima is going to be held on 22nd, 23rd, 24th in Newcastle. And this is the ijtima for the province of Natal. We should try and attend this ijtima. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and all of us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.